come excited, and I hope you come excited. And if you're not excited yet, hopefully by the end of this service, you'll be excited about what God has in store for each and every one of us. It truly is. You think of just the opportunity. Michelle's mamaw, she had a bad fall. She's 88 years old, lives by herself, so she had a bad fall. And the woman, she loves God. And she loves going and worship God. And she's laid up in a hospital now and is not going to be able to get out. And that just crushed her. It just crushed her. So we were able to lift her spirits. There's a couple ways that she's able to live stream in and watch things and stuff. So you never take for granted the opportunity that each one of us have to come to God's house, to worship Him and be here in physical body with one another. Because as I look out, I see family right here. I see people that I love doing life with. I see people that struggle with the same battles that I struggle with, and we try to help each other through all of these things. I see married couples that struggle. I see people that are financially in trouble, but we all still come together knowing that in the name of Jesus, everything's going to be all right. And at the end of the day, our heart's desire is that every soul that walks into this church gets to hear this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and ultimately surrenders their life to Him and receives this wonderful gift of salvation. At the end of the day, that's what it's about for me. That's what it's about, is seeing other lost people feel what God has allowed me to feel down on the inside and allowed you to feel down on the inside as far as having a relationship with Him. We're going to get right into this. We're going to read in a real familiar account. This is the focus. This is what we look at. This is what that He tells us to do in Matthew 28. We're going to read a couple verses, 18 through 20 here in Matthew 28. And we're going to continue in our series here of serving. And we've talked about how there's multiple ways to serve. We've talked about how that there's different people and we're all one body and we come together. We've talked about having the mindset to do God's work and what God wants us to do. And then we're going to hit another gear here this morning about this whole idea of how God has created the church and He's created each one of us to serve together as one another. And having this culture around our church where we have this excitement to do what God wants us to do. But we're going to read here. If you don't care, stand for the honor of reading God's Word. If you're willing and able to do that, we would love for you to stand. But we're going to start there in the 18th verse, and it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, always, to the end of the age.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, this blessing that you've given us to be at your house again this morning. Lord, I do consider it a blessing and an honor to be able to stand this morning, Lord Father. And I pray, God, that you would just anoint our hearts this morning, just prepare our minds, Lord Father, to take in what you would have us to receive. God, our heart's desire is if someone's here that's lost, that needs to receive this wonderful gift of salvation, Lord, that they would surrender to you. Lord, I understand the strict judgment upon my life of rightly dividing your word, and I accept that place this morning. Lord, we ask that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this whole idea of serving, it's pretty phenomenal when I think of, I've been a part of many churches, and I've tried to serve at every one that I've possibly been at, but it's amazing. We do, and we are blessed as a church and as Living Water to see a high number of individuals that are willing to pour into this vision and mission that God has placed here in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, and the activity of how things function on a Sunday morning is completely amazing. There's no way that three dudes could do this by themselves. There's no way. And we want you guys to recognize that without the church, without every individual, from the people that take out the trash, to the people that cook breakfast, to the people that teach our kids, to the people that greet to the people that work the welcome center out there, to the people that smile, to the people that just shake hands, to the people that are sitting here this morning that just pray. Every aspect that God has given us is unique, and it is valuable for each and every one of us. And I've always loved being part of a team. I've been a part of a team all my life. I've always loved being that. And growing up, my passion and my love really was, when I was younger, was I was a part of a football team. And I think back of being a part of just that team. I didn't realize when I was young how that really related to church and how it would relate to life. The coaches would try to say, we're preparing you for life. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You just want to win, okay? You know, I didn't realize the impact that coaches really make in people's lives, and they do make impacts in our lives. So it's important to have God-fearing, Jesus-believing coaches out there that can pour into our kids, because really, to this day, I look back and think, man, that was what held me together and allowed me to be where I'm at today. It's because I learned at a very young age what it took to work with people. When things didn't go right, you still worked together, and you was able to press on through that. And through that whole aspect, it actually I've got many tons of memories from playing pranks on our coaches to knocking over the water table in the middle of a game and just being excited about that and being like, ah, it happened, and just go back into the game, because unexpected things happen all the time. But I've got some fond memories of all of those things. And what it did is it created these bonds. It created these things. I was on a football team we call teammates. And we were teammates, we were brothers, we were there for one another. We were going to do whatever it took to watch a brother's back or to be there for him. And it created these special bonds. And to this day, I'm still good friends with those guys that I was in the trenches with, that we were fourth and one trying to get a touchdown, and in the heat of the moment and someone making a wrong block, but looking at it and saying, okay, how do we come back from this? And I look at that aspect the same way that I look at the church, that I look at each and every one of us. We are a big team. God has placed a team here in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, that we've all got our roles, we've all got our functions, we all do things differently, we think differently, we have different ways that we think things should be done. But at the end of the day, we are one machine, we are teammates. We are teammates, and the amazing thing about this is we all have our place, and we all have areas that we serve in, or if we're not serving, that we need to be serving in, because God has specifically given you that gift. When I think about being at the king's table, I think about, guess what? There can't nobody sit at that seat that has your name on it. You're the one that's going to have to pull up and sit at that seat, because God specifically made that for you. Not everybody's a quarterback. Not everybody's a lineman. Not everybody's a running back or a receiver or a punter or a kicker. Not everybody are those, but everybody has their unique gifts, and God has put us together, and these unique gifts form one team with one goal in mind. So as the vision and mission of Living Water Church, we have one goal in mind, and that is ultimately that we could share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others could come and receive this wonderful gift of salvation. Because it makes me sad to think anybody would die and have to go to a devil's hell. I don't want that for anybody, especially my family and especially your family. And especially any stranger that I walk through Walmart and meet over in Kroger or just pass down the highway. I don't want anybody. So we have one goal in mind, and that's to seeing lost souls get saved. In the New Testament, it describes teammates or Christians and their activity as fellow heirs, fellow members, fellow partakers. So we all are in this thing together. We are teammates. Your role is just as important as my role. My role is just as important as your role. All of our roles work together for one purpose and one cause. And if everybody finds that unique gift that God's giving them and serves in that, then man, God is going to do some amazing things here in the life of Living Water Church. And he's already done that. But he's saying, guess what? We have just barely tapped in to what God wants to do at Living Water Church. So thinking about this, everybody loves to be a part of a winning team, right? Does anybody like to lose? No, everybody likes to win. We all want to win. Okay, we all want to win. But you know what? Sometimes it takes more than just good players or star players to win. That's great. Now, as a coach, I wanted to have a 6'5 quarterback that had a gun that can throw it 65 yards down the field. I have a running back that ran a 4.2, so we can just pitch it to and go. I wanted to have linemen that were 300 pounds, that were 6'3, 6'4. That's the ideal team, right, Tanner? That's the kind of team that you want. It's wow. But not everybody is going to be like that. So it takes all shapes and sizes, every individual in this thing, in this team that we call the church and that we call life. So it takes all kinds of players. And what that does is it also takes something that's very important, and it's called culture. And this morning we're going to focus on creating a kingdom culture, which God has placed here, and God has given us this kingdom culture because guess what? An unhealthy culture eats away at a team like a cancer. If there is backbiting, if there is people thinking, and have you ever had a teammate that says, I'm the star player. I'm the one that scored 5 touchdowns. How did we win that game? I'm the one that threw the winning touchdown pass. And I have been around people like that. I've been around people like that that I was teammates with. And guess what? I've been around people like that that I go to church with. It happens. I've seen all kinds. And what that does is this unhealthy culture that you try to make in between teammates and stuff, it begins to eat away at stuff. This culture, and what it does is ministries become about you instead of about Jesus. From day one, Grant has always told me, if we're doing a ministry and it starts focusing on anything but Jesus, guess what we'll do? We'll shut her down. We'll shut her down and say, hey, we no longer need that because it's no longer. So it's creating this good culture, this kingdom culture that God wants us to have, and being good teammates. Are you a good teammate? Are you a team player? Are you someone that is focused on the good news of the gospel, or it's, well, I was the one that served the biscuit this morning. I was the one that picked up the piece of paper. I was the one that preached. You know, can you see that mentality and how it can be acting like a cancer and how it can kill a culture or kill momentum? And it's dangerous because guess what? We are people. We are people. And sometimes we are people that are about ourselves. But guess what? So what's a kingdom culture look like? What's a kingdom culture? Here's what a kingdom culture looks like. And when you think about the church aspect and a good teammate and playing the role and doing what God wants to do, here's what a kingdom culture looks like. It looks like, hey, are you a good teammate? Are you a teammate that's seeking and putting the needs of others before your own? Are you that teammate that's not going to be a part of the problem, but be a part of the solution? So being that kind of teammate, creating this kingdom culture, are you a teammate that is trying to create this unity? When you sense someone maybe and saying, hey, look at me, look at my ministry, look what I, come and see me. Come and find me. And in things, when you hear that kind of language, me and I, okay, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for to unify, creating a kingdom culture, because ultimately what a healthy culture or kingdom culture does is it creates this positive momentum where people are focusing on one thing, and that's the cross, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ for one purpose and one goal, is that so we can share the good news of the gospel with someone else by creating this culture where people feel like, wow, that's a place where I want to go, because those people are focused and one mind and they're playing together as good teammates. As good teammates. So in life, do you realize that teammates help create kingdom culture or good culture in a church? Being a good teammate helps to create this. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about two types of teammates this morning and how this all aspects and how this actually is unique in the area and the body of the church, and how that God places people in certain areas. And when we're looking at this, look at this. Talk with yourself and with God about, okay, what kind of team player am I? Am I a team player? Or am I a good teammate? Or if you're sitting here saying, dude, I don't feel like I'm part of the team at all because I'm not doing anything. Or you may say, I don't understand. I want to be a part of the team. How to be a part of the team. I want to be saved so I can be a part of that team. So we're going to look on this, because being the star player, yeah, it's great. Everybody loves to be good. Everybody wants to do their best. But we're going to look at these two things, talent versus attitude, and how this creates a teammate system, and you look at it and thinking, man, which one of these categories do I fall in? Because as a former high school football coach, now dude, I wanted talent, but at the end of the day, when it was fourth quarter and we needed somebody to make a big play, I was looking for attitude. I was looking for someone that was determined, that no matter what, they worked and worked and worked, but their attitude was like, hey, we're going to win this game. Not just because of someone's talent, but their attitude of focusing on what God wants them to focus on. So a teammate that is self-focused, here's what we're going to title them this morning. We're going to call them Kingdom Busters. Okay, they're Kingdom Busters. So we're trying to create a kingdom culture. Okay, so these teammates that are self-focused and are doing and saying, hey, look at me, I'm the star, we're going to call them Kingdom Busters. Their attitude is wrong. Their focus is wrong. They're not seeing the big picture. They're not, you know, because what happens a lot of times is our preferences get involved in what God really wants to do. Because, I mean, real honestly, when we really think about it, could the stage be a different color than black? It could be. Could we have different colored chairs? Yes, we could. Could the walls be different? Absolutely. We all have preferences, but don't allow your attitude and your preferences to sidetrack the machine, the team of what God wants us to focus on, and that's creating this thing that we call this kingdom culture. A lot of times this so-called, what we call kingdom busters, okay, here's what happens. They focus more on their rights instead of their responsibilities. Someone that's not being a good team, a teammate or a team player, focusing on the whole picture, they begin to focus on what is my rights. So listen to this. We have a responsibility to protect our team, which is the church, rather than a right for the church to cater to our needs. We have a responsibility as born-again believers in Jesus Christ to, how do we create this kingdom culture? By saying, it's not about me. The church, I'm not looking for the church to give me. Get what? I go to Living Water Church because they give me something, okay? That's not what we're looking at. I got to change this mindset of this kingdom buster. And oftentimes, the focus actually should rather be on serving others rather than something that we talk about in these classes that we go through. In 301, we talk about this thing that we call the country club mentality. Okay, the country club mentality. If you've never heard of the country club mentality, here's what a kingdom buster does, is they have the country club mentality. The country club mentality is, okay, if you're part of a country club, what do you normally do? You pay your dues, right? So you pay your dues for what at a country club? And I'm not knocking country clubs because I like them, okay? I like to go play golf. I like for my kids to go swimming. I like those. I'm not saying country clubs are bad, but when we have a country club mentality, when we're like, okay, I'll pay my dues, now what are you going to do for me? That's the kind of wrong mentality. That's a kingdom buster. It's not creating a kingdom culture. And guess what? Someone that's honestly giving to the church, okay, it's not, well, I pay my tithes to Living Water Church. No, you're paying your tithes to God, okay? Not to Living Water Church. You're paying your tithes to God. So the mentality is not to come in and say, I pay my dues to the church, and then sit back on your seat. What's the church going to do for me? Well, somebody's got to clean up the trash, okay? Somebody's got to take out the trash. Somebody's got to sweep the floors. Somebody's got to straighten the chairs up. Somebody's got to greet. Somebody's got to cook breakfast. Somebody's got to teach. Somebody's got to do all this. And guess what? I don't believe God said, hey, hire out all those positions. I don't believe he said do that. We don't need to do that when we've got able body of people in a church that God has blessed us with, that in on any given Sunday we can have 800 to 1,000 on any given Sunday. There's enough people in this thing where we can create this thing called a kingdom culture, where we don't have a country club mentality, but we could say, hey, God, what do you need me to do for you? What can I do to serve? How can I contribute to this team? And what God wants us to do. So don't have a country club mentality, because in Matthew 20:28 says this right here. It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus himself, the Lord of all lords, the Son of God. If anybody deserved to have a country club mentality, it was Jesus. He gave his life. It was him. If he wanted to have, hey, let's sit back and watch them all do it. But he said, no, I didn't come to be served, but I want to serve. And as we're in this exciting time of our church and multiple people are stepping up, I see people serving that hasn't served before, that are stepping up to the plate. And I see those people that are serving to continue to serve and to do what God wants them to do. Man, it excites my heart every time VBS comes around that we have 200 to 250 individuals stepping up to the plate to help wrangle all of these kids together in a week's time. And it functions like, you know, I just step back and I'm just like amazed at the talent level that God has placed at Living Water Church. So come to serve. We, you know, and here's the thing. So if you have this country club mentality or this kingdom buster mentality, here's what happened on a football team, okay? So if you had this mindset, and God just may do this to you, you better watch out, okay? So you better be a team player. You better be a kingdom focus. You better have that mindset, okay, and creating a kingdom culture. Because we had this thing on the football team. Have you guys ever heard of a lookout block? It was a wonderful term that we used back in the, you know, if you had a running back or a quarterback that was all about themselves, or, yeah, look at me. Come on, guys, I'm doing my job. Why aren't you doing your job? And just focused on themselves. We had this thing as a group of linemen, because linemen were like this. We were in the trenches together. We had this thing that was called lookout block, that all of a sudden that we'd say, hey, lookout block. And then all of a sudden the quarterback get under the center. 42, set, hut, hut, boom, snap, and we just step to the side and say, look out! Guess what? His mentality changed real quickly. And it's the same thing in a church. I mean, you look at it, because it really takes all sorts of people, all sorts of individuals to come together to form this wonderful team that God has given us here at Living Water Church. And creating a kingdom culture is so important. And it's what we really truly need to focus on, is creating a culture where people be like, it ain't that, man, I don't want to serve beside that person. It's, man, I want to serve with these people. Don't be a Debbie Downer all the time, or focused on yourself all the time, where people say, you do that on your own. You do that on your own. I'm not messing with that. And that's what it does. If you are not a team player or a good teammate, that's what people feel about you if you're not getting in and putting forth that effort. And then, you know, here's this. So talent versus attitude. And here's something else we're going to kind of label these people that have good attitudes. They may not be, and Pastor Grant talked about it last week. You know, they may be those players that have the ability at about 80% or so, 75, 80%, and not 100%. They're not fully and truly gifted with all of those gifts. They're gifted, but not the star athlete. But their attitude is wonderful. They'll run through a wall for you if you ask them to run through a wall. If you need them to go get chairs, they'll go get chairs. If you need them to take out trash, they'll go take out trash. If you need them to serve on a Sunday morning in the cafe or be a teacher, they'll just do that. It'll not be like, no, they'll just do that because of their attitude. And we're going to call those people this morning. So we have our kingdom busters, and we're going to have our kingdom builders. We have our kingdom builders. So there's two types of teammates, and are we a good teammate? Which category do we fall in? Are we a kingdom buster? Are we a kingdom builder? And because here's what happens with someone that truly is focusing on and having a good attitude and doing what God wants them to do. That it says the attitudes and chemistry are factors that can kick people up to a higher level of winning no matter what talent they have. No matter what talent they have. This teammate knows that to be more, they must become more. And to become more, they must serve others. If I want to think about the ultimate kingdom builder, creating a good culture, if we want to model any team, we need to model the team that Jesus put together, how he put a bunch of misfits together that were completely different from people that fished for a living to people that collected taxes for a living. He put the ultimate team together, and they were allowed to function because we all want to go back to what we read at first, that Great Commission, because it truly is about making disciples. It truly is about seeing people baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, being baptized in that. Coming up from the altar, receiving this gift of salvation, where they're thinking, man, my life has been changed forevermore. Are you a kingdom builder? Are you someone that's focused on serving and doing what God wants to do? Because a kingdom builder gives abundantly and serves without hesitation. Someone that truly is focused on the mission of what God has set up, the Great Commission, going out and making disciples. Being a kingdom builder, because when you have attitudes like this, what happens? Man, it creates a good culture in a church. It creates good teammates. It creates people. Do you look at church and think, man, I'm going to church, but I hope I don't run into so-and-so. Okay? I hope that you're not the so-and-so that people are thinking that about. Okay? Because they are out there. Don't be they, okay? Don't be they, but be a kingdom builder. Be someone that lifts up the name of Jesus, Paul, because in Jesus Christ, because in Ephesians 1:15 and 16, it says this. It said, Paul said a lot about unity. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stopped giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Always be someone that is creating a source of unity, a source of, hey, okay, I don't want to be the problem, but I want to help with this and be a part of the solution. Being someone that goes and cheers on their teammates. And when someone falls down, reaching down and picking them up. When someone, hey, guess what? Instead of it coming from your pastors all the time, hey, you need to serve, or how can we help you get in to serve? How can we set you up in the right place where you can serve? Be teammates to say, man, hey, where are you serving at? We need some help over here. You mind helping with this? Just get on this. We'll let Pastor John know about it. Boom. Let me know. We'll get it all set up. Guess how soon you can get a part of being a part of any kind of ministry, right? Like, boom, just like that. We can get you right in, signed up today. Signed up today. Uniquely, this is coming before VBS, isn't it? Wow! Wow! It's all right, because I'm going to tell you, it's not just during VBS. We need people on Wednesday nights when we have our children here. We do. We didn't have a game leader hardly at all last year. We need somebody just to organize games, okay? That's it. Just get in there and play with the kids. And guess what? You don't have to be an athlete to do that, but you have to have a good attitude. Good attitude. Say yes, whatever the church needs. So be a kingdom builder. Be a kingdom. Love your fellow teammates unconditionally. That doesn't mean, guess what? It doesn't mean that we're always going to agree on everything all the time. But it does mean you're willing to sacrifice your own preferences to keep the unity of your team or of the church. You will sacrifice your preferences to say, hey, what's best for the team? Am I a team player? Am I a good teammate? Because guess what? There are seasons where our attitudes, I don't just have one attitude, attitudes, sometimes there are seasons where they're just not good, okay? Sometimes the attitude, and we go through seasons just like that, we get emotional. And we get emotionally involved or emotionally charged in maybe something. Who told them that they had authority to dig up the tree outside? It just didn't need to be there anymore. Don't get emotionally charged over that and send me a letter every week, okay? Don't get emotionally attached to that. Don't be, you know, why is the building gray right now? In a week it'll change, I promise you, okay? Don't get emotionally charged by something like that. But there are seasons where you go through that. And you know what? Here's our philosophy. There's been seasons that people have come to us and just fired up. And we said, listen, maybe it's time for your role to be, guess what? Go on the sideline. Go on the sideline. Take it, because apparently you've lost your focus. You've lost why you're really doing what you're doing. And it's all right, because guess what? If your marriage is struggling and you're serving more and you're not trying to fix your marriage, we would rather for you to try to fix your marriage than come in here and serve a biscuit or teach on Sunday morning. Okay? If your attitude is negative and you're mean to the people that you live with and your work situation is bad and you're focusing more on serving and you've not got that, we would rather for you to, guess what? Because those teammates that were cheering us on while we were out there and it was 4th and 1 are just as important as those ones that are right in the center of things. Okay, but we'll all go through seasons like that where we just don't have a good attitude. It might be a jealousy becomes problematic. We become jealous of maybe a teammate or something. It happens. And sometimes maybe you need to be sidelined to say, hey, listen, let me get this stuff straightened out. And guess what? Guess how many times that's happened that I've had that conversation with people? I can't count them on my hands. It just happens. But one thing that I never want to do is look at an individual when they're going through a season like that and say, no, you got to stay in this game. You got to be a team player. Come on, suck it up. I don't want to be like that, because what that does is that closes doors. But I want to be where it's an open door or revolving door. Sometimes you have to be sidelined. Sometimes you come right back in. Okay? And that's what happens. That's what creates a good culture around a church, is having that mindset of being a good teammate. Because on a team, guess what? Conflict and disagreement is going to happen. But you know what good teams do? They manage through those rough stretches throughout a season. There are times when you'll lose 3 or 4 games in a row, but you've got to manage as a good team. You've got to come with a good attitude. You've got to practice harder. You've got to be willing to say, okay, how can we get this kingdom culture mentality back where it focuses on the team instead of you? But good teams manage to make it through those things. Why? It's because they keep a kingdom first mentality. That's why. They keep that kingdom first mentality, and they are good teammates, and they're good team players, and they want to create this thing that we want to call a kingdom culture. Now, we've got a great kingdom culture around here, okay? There may be a couple sour apples every once in a while, but guess what? I love it. I love it. I love, you know, somebody, come in, sit down. Can we meet? Can we meet? Well, kind of give me a heads up what it's about, because if it's about your preferences, we ain't going to waste our time on it. But if it's about, okay, we've said something wrong biblically, someone's teaching false doctrine, someone is dragging people to the altar, we'll discuss all of those things. But when it's about the color of the paint, kind of carpet you got, how many entrances we're going to have, are they serving Pillsbury biscuits in the, those are things that to create a kingdom culture, we just don't worry about. But we're moving forward because our ultimate goal is this great commission of focusing on what God wants us to focus on. So let me ask you this morning, I'm going to read this to you. So what kind of teammate are you? As you looking at yourself, what kind of teammate are you? Are you a team player? Are you a good team? Could someone evaluate you and look you and assess you and be like, man, that's somebody that I want to serve with. That's somebody that I like being in the game with. That's someone that I love. That's someone that's always positive. That's someone that's always, I've been around people, you know, I've met people before where it was always, they were just like so high energy. And I'm like, dude, that's fake. That's fake. They're just like, I'm just like, man, I'm just kind of leery at that. I'm just kind of like, man, they're always just jacked up. And I'm like, dude, is that real? And there's people that I've served with here in the church going on over 5 years now that the first time I met them, I was like, whoa, take a volume, sit down, ho. But you know what? From day one, they have been that way and they still are that way today. And I love the attitude. I love the excitement. I love the zeal. That gets me fired up. So are you one who does not seek after to be a one-man show? Are you an individual like that? But you work together with your teammates and you rely on their skills and their abilities to do what they need to do to help move this team forward, to create a kingdom culture, to being a good teammate, a good team player, sacrificing your own needs. And say, you know, because sometimes I may have a better skill than you. Sometimes my skill may be better than you at that, but maybe someone comes up and says, man, I'd like to do this. You're the actual one that's doing that at times. And sometimes you may say, man, you go ahead and do that and step back, knowing that you're probably going to do a better job than what they're doing. But for the sake of the team, guess what? You just step back and you say, man, let that person serve or somewhere else that I can get, somewhere else that God may need me. Okay? But don't create that jealousy or that problematic stuff there that's going to be like, no, this is where I'm serving. I welcome people on Sunday morning. How dare you come in my place? This seat here doesn't have anybody's name on it, okay? So if you sit in this seat every Sunday and you come in and Tanner's sitting in your seat, don't make a big deal out of it. It's just a seat. There's another one that looks just like it right beside of it. And if that throws you off, you say, I can't get in the spirit this morning. And dude, you need to be on the altar anyway, because you're not being a team player and you're not creating a good culture, okay? There's plenty of seats everywhere and most of them look alike, okay? They all look alike. Okay, so be a team player. Don't be about a one-man show, okay? And here's the thing, from a biblical standpoint and what teamwork means, here's what happened. We share in biblical responsibilities based on biblical goals, based on values, based on priorities, based on giftedness, based on training, and ultimately based on God leading us in what area that he wants to lead. Because not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a greeter. Okay? It takes all sorts of people to come together. But the really focus is to say, God, here am I. Send me. God, use me. What am I? Use me. I think so uniquely about Eric, your this story, this wonderful story that God has instrumented together years and years ago, that a young man of our church would be willing to say, listen, I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to give part of my body to help save someone else's life. You're talking about the ultimate sacrifice, what Jesus gave. And man, I can't think of any other way to create a kingdom culture and to have a kingdom mindset and to be a team player than giving part of your own body to save someone else's life. And glory be to God, Jesus ultimately gave his body to save our lives. He was the ultimate team player. He was the good teammate. He was the guy that I'd say, man, that's who I want to go in the trenches with. That's who I want to serve with. That's who I want to be a part of and learn more from them, because they showed me by their actions of serving what being and creating a kingdom culture really is. Wow. So at the end of the day, serving, we've got it up here, okay? Serving's the one with the heart, okay? At the end of the day, why do we do what we do? What really is it really all about? Okay, what is it about creating a kingdom culture, being a good teammate, being a team player? What is that really all about? Let me read something to you here. It's because being a good teammate is important. Now, this is just from 2018. I didn't look at the numbers for 2000. This was just last year, okay? Because 2019's not over yet. But you know that every day, 7,452 people die on average every day. So what is this about? And you know that, you know how many people that is? That's one person every 12 seconds. One person every 12 seconds passes from this life. Ultimately, what is that serving? What is it truly about? Man, out of those 7,452 people that die a day, it breaks my heart to imagine how many of those people were lost. How many of those people maybe have come into a church where there wasn't a kingdom culture, where there wasn't a mindset of man, how can I serve? Where there wasn't a mindset of how can I give to God? How can I share the good news of the gospel? There wasn't that mindset. How many of those people that pass from this life every day, nearly 7,500 people, come in and the culture wasn't where it needed to be because the team wasn't playing together? Man, so what's it really about? We are one team with one cause. Every Sunday we come into God's house and there's somebody that comes into Living Water Church every Sunday that's lost. And maybe you are that one that's sitting here saying, man, I'm lost. I need this wonderful gift of salvation. Well, guess what? You've got some pretty good teammates around you that if you want to be a part of this team. You've got people that'll come to first service so they can serve in second service. That'll come to second service so they can serve in third. You've got people that stand up here Sunday in and Sunday out that serve every service, that get here at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning to share this good news. Why? Because lost souls are important. Instead of asking, when can I get something from the team, we should start asking, hey, how can I contribute to the team? We have multiple opportunities to serve at Living Water Church. From the building team, to the cafe team, fellowship team. Multiple opportunities. We do multiple things throughout our community. Being a part of sharing the God. I don't want all the good news to stay in Living Water Church in these walls, okay? But our goal is the Great Commission. Let's go out. Let's continue to go out. Let's continue to create. Let's have a bigger team. Well, we go out and rescue people that are lost and dying and going to hell. Now listen, this is the part of the sermon where everybody that is not perfect ought to be shouting the praises of glory. This is the part of the sermon where you realizing that, guess what? You are a sinner saved by the grace of God, that you ought to be shouting the praises of glory, because guess what? He loved me enough to give his life for me. He loved me enough that even though I was a sinner bound for hell, he still gave his life for me. And when I walk into church every Sunday, I realize that every breath's a gift. We ought to realize that every step's a gift. We ought to realize that every service that we've got is a gift that God has given us. And we, as sinners and people that didn't deserve it, God had mercy on us and said, here you go. I love you. I love you enough to give my life for you. And at the end of the day, creating this kingdom culture mentality. How can I give? How can I serve? How can I be a better teammate? How can I be that ultimate team player? Because there's nearly 7,500 people dying every day. And I'd say a large majority of them need to hear about what you have to share. You are unique. You are valuable. We don't look out at any time as one of the three pastors at Living Water Church, and we don't look out at any time saying, man, that person's not valuable. But they've got a gift and they've got a talent, and God's placed them here for right now. He's placed them here. And while we're on this journey together right now, we don't know what might happen, Mike. We don't know what might happen. But right now, while he's placed us together on the same team, how can I create a kingdom culture and be the ultimate teammate? And if you are here lost this morning, say, man, I just want to be a part of the team, and you need this wonderful gift of salvation, we're going to have an invitation. God's going to give you an invite. He's going to ask you to come down. He may ask you to come up and talk to one of us after the service. He may ask you to email me, text me, call one of the pastors. He may tell you to do something, and you need to be open to say, listen, sounds like a pretty good team. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. So what kind of team player are you, and are you a good teammate? Let's pray.